Our Lady of Guadalupe is the patroness of the Americas. I mean, Our Lady came here to instruct us, strengthen us, evangelize us, and to prepare us for what we face now. This is particularly United States and perhaps Canada, but you know, the natural treasures that God had hidden in this country, you know, the thousands of miles of forest, all the coal, the oil, the coal, the silver, the in the land, and the church came imperfectly, but that's the way we always come. And this feast is to rededicate, to re-entrust ourselves to the Mother of God. It takes some time and some experience before we begin to realize her power, who she really is. And that's why I selected, we had a choice of readings today, and I took this one from the book of Revelation to try to explain a bit of this text shows us the incredible depth and complexity of the war between good and evil, summed up in Mary, that is, the Church. The earliest saints and mystics who commented on this passage said it was about the Church. And then people began to realize that it was more than the Church. It was Mary who is the summation of the Church and had her own battle with Satan. As I was thinking about this text this morning, I was trying to think, what is this like? It's like a collage, if that's the right word. You know, somebody has a birthday, and you have all these different pictures of them, all different, all cockeyed, straight, old, new. They're all there. And they give a total impression of the person. Well, this is like a collage. I mean, there are so many things. There are things in this text that echo some of the oldest and most profound myths of the human race, particularly those in the Middle East, caught up to serve an understanding of the war between good and evil that still goes on until the Lord comes back, though the victory is assured. This is chapter 12, you see. God's temple in heaven was opened, and the Ark of His Covenant could be seen in the temple. The Ark, you see, the covenant, the unbreakable commitment of God to His people. And then a great sign appeared. Now remember how Our Lady of Guadalupe is clothed, huh? A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Who can this be? Clothed with the sun, the source of all the energy in this world, our little world. All the food we eat that gives us energy, the energy comes from the sun. All the cars we drive are from gas, and the gas and the energy comes from the sun. She's clothed with the sun. Who is she? Yes, she's Mary. This is the way she came at Guadalupe. It's the Church. I've tried to explain before, and it would take, I think this image of collage might help. I just, first time in my life I got it, it was this morning. I was trying to think, because I've, in my life I've had to study, for instance, this thing, we don't have it today, but you know where the earth opens up and swallows the water that the dragon spews out to try to drown the woman and her child, the church, you know? That image is in an old Ugaritic myth that I studied years ago. In other words, some of the deep primal myths of humanity are taken up in this text, sanctified, and used to mediate something. I tell you, my friends, it would take us to try to get the picture of the depth of the struggle between good and evil. And where we would be without Mary, who is the general of an army of light. Satan hates her. A, because she's flesh and blood, and he's spirit, and she's greater than he is. Also, because she gave birth to the Savior of the human race. And he hates us because we're the image of God. He can't get God, but he can get us. And she is the protectress. That's why we're all urged to consecrate or entrust ourselves to Mary. Because there's a battle, folks. Now, when I was young, I was. The idea, you know, you grew up, you were going to marry Susie down the street, get a job in the 5 and 10 or whatever, you know, and live happily ever after. And, hey, under that lay all this war, already consecrated by the martyrs in this country. And so it's not by accident that Our Lady of Guadalupe comes with some of this symbol to tell us, look, I'm here because there is going to be a war. And you don't have to worry about it. I am here, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. Everybody knows the moon's got power, right? The tides of the sea, women's bodies, you know, the moon under her feet, you see. And on her head, a crown of 12 stars. 12, why 12? The 12 tribes now caught up into the 12 apostles. The new patriarchs, the 12 apostles. She was with child and wailed aloud in pain as she labored to give birth. Now, what are we going to do about this one? Our Lady didn't labor in pain when she gave birth to Christ in Bethlehem. But when she gave birth to the whole Christ at the cross, she was laboring in pain. And then another sign appeared, huh? A huge red dragon. Well, this idea of a big, red, frightening dragon, this is in that. Little kids have nightmares about this when they've never even heard about it. This is saying, I'm trying to show you that this battle takes place at the very depth of your own heart and will, and at the depth and heart and will of your whole world and your whole nation. 7 heads and 10 horns. That's typical, you know, that's some Book of Daniel, you know, and his tail swept away a third of the stars in the sky and hurled them down to earth. Now that's the scenario he sees. He's seeing the temple, the ark, seeing this woman, and now he sees this dragon. That's what he sees. He's trying, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to open up our dear little minds who like things to be like, well, the image I have is like of little machines, like they have one out there. They're going to sell those gifts today, and they have a little tick, 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 bing, here's your total, you know. We like that. Whereas life reality isn't like that. The issues are not that comfortable. They're huge. And they're important. And we count. We count. You understand? There's been saints walk this land. And one saint is worth a whole army. And so, he stood before the woman about to give birth. Now, who's this? It's Our Lady, sure. Because the son that's born is caught up to heaven. Is this saying that he's not talking about when he was born of her body, but when he was born into a new life in heaven? Because, you see, he's destined to rule the nations with an iron rod. Isn't that the Messiah King from Psalm 2? Where God tells him, rule the nations with an iron rod? I'm trying to give you an idea of this collage, not to make you go home confused, but to realize that through this, you can have a clear picture, not only of the extent of the war, which has been going on, you know, and can be intense at times, when all these factors tend to gather together in a certain way. We have what's called an eschatological moment. An eschatological moment doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. It means the end of a world. All the factors are there. And this is one of these times. So this is why we celebrate this feast, you see, with our eyes wide open and trying to get an idea, not a sentimental and frightened idea. We'll all run to Our Lady. In the Greek rite, we have a song, Te hypermakos strategota, tanikteria. To the super powerful general, we sing hymns of victory. It's a nice little song. Yeah. So the child was caught up to God. That's his resurrection and his throne. Well, wait a minute. I mean, I thought she was just giving birth. And now, remember, this is a collage. See, it's the whole picture you're supposed to try to get into our poor head, you know, or heart. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed. Who is ruling this world? Jesus Christ, the Lord, the eternal incarnate Son of God. And he's given himself to the church. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. He's not alone. Because he didn't want to be alone. He couldn't have done it fine without us. And so you see, this, if you take this text and pray today and say, Lord, I don't understand this. He knows that. But pray and let these, and I say, it helps a lot, you know, but you don't have to do that. But some of the commentaries. Now I'm going to finish, I should. Probably should have finished long ago. If you look at the great fathers of the church, they come in on this and they talk just like this book. It's Our Lady, it's the church, it's, you see. Why? Because for them, Our Lady is the total summation of the church. She is the most saved of all creatures because she was saved by being immaculately conceived because of the power of the blood of her son to come. Right? Like Jeremiah and Moses, they all had grace from the Christ to come. But she's the church. This is lovely. And this is a tough collage, I must admit. This is where the pictures get one on top of the other. There's this instruction to icon painters. You're going to paint an icon of wisdom. Okay. So you begin with an image of the church, that is Mary. That's what it says. to understand the interpenetration between the mystery of the church and the mystery of Mary is to start to find yourself. Start to find yourself. Because you see, that's what it means to entrust your life to Mary. Make me church. Make me loving God. Make me preaching the gospel. Make me not afraid of danger. Make me church. That's what it's for. And so on this feast day, I'm saying Mass today for the church in the Americas. Because of the war. But now have salvation and power come, and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his anointed. But I'm not comfortable. Hallelujah. That'll help you stay real. You know, if we're comfortable, we don't think about anything except ourselves. When we're not comfortable, we start thinking about life, the church, what's going on. It's important. And so, believe me, we touched upon 10% of the collage. It already gives you a headache, right? I mean, there's so many. But it's this overall impression. You look at the collage and you say, well, before I look at all the little details, I just want to get an impression. The impression is Mary and the church. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And Mary and the church are victorious. Through pain, but they're victorious. And we are baptized into the church. And the church has a womb, the baptismal font. And there we are born and become children of Mary.